Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's nice to be joined by Pedro Martinez, television star.
Oh, yeah.
Forget about great pitcher, Hall of Famer, TV star. How are you enjoying the TV life?
I actually do enjoy it a lot. It's something I didn't expect to do, but I'm really enjoying that because it gives me, like, when you're in the game.
Yeah.
And you go to the end of the dugout, and you're looking at whatever is happening with the other team, with your team, and you're searching for, you know, for little different things to get an advantage or learn even more about your craft. So I have made out of the TV something to keep me entertained. Like if I was in the game, I get intense too.
You can see it during the broadcast. You can see it.
Oh, believe me.
Oh, I like the videos after you guys in the air in the green room watching, because you had a lot of fun. This obviously the Sox winning it all.
Believe me. I did, especially because it was in L.A. and I was so mistreated in L.A. It was like my payback for not, you know, treating me right.
Yeah.
So and then bringing my team over to L.A. and winning it over there, it was like, here you have it. You know, I didn't do it myself, but someone else from my team did it to you.
For the guys who just won a World Series for the first time in Boston, what's this offseason like for them? You went through it in 04 and 05.
You know, for those guys, especially guys like David Price, that it looked to me like they had this huge load on their shoulders. It's a sign of relief. It's not over yet because you're under contract. And you're looking forward to doing even more. But just to see him have success, for Alex coming over as a first-year manager, the young players, it's a huge sign of relief, because now you can say to your fan base, hey, we achieved something for you. We did something for you. Now let's see how much more we can do. But you already paid your dues in some ways for the fan base, for the people, for the expectations that they had. I think it's just a huge sign of relief for everybody to be able to say, we brought you a championship during my era in Boston.
Yeah, so you talk about the weight of the world, right? I mean, obviously in 04, you guys, everybody knows what you guys did, right? 86 years. But with David Price in particular, I felt like he individually was dealing with that, you know, given his, you know, lack of success in the postseason. What did you see from him this year? I know you were talking a lot about what maybe he would like to see him do, and just is that, look, he was absolutely outstanding. He was lights out. What did you see as a difference for him and why he was successful?
I think the fact that the group of guys embraced David Price, and also the little success he had last year during the postseason coming out of the bullpen, I think made him believe that he could do that. Because I remember David Price carrying this team during the season when Chris Sale went down. He was the ace that everybody expected. And I remember you guys asking him,
happens in October?
Yeah, what happens in October? He goes, it's not over yet. It doesn't matter if I win 30 games during the season. I want to do it during the postseason. Mm-hmm. And it says a lot about his mindset. I think he was ready to go to the postseason from day one. And he knew he needed to do something like that. And plus, at the same time, have you ever been in love and you're shy to tell the girl that you're in love with her? That's exactly what happened to David Price with this fan base, with the media, with everybody. He wanted to let out, but he was shy about it. He didn't know how to do it. He wanted to do it by performing. And believe it or not, I don't think he was totally healthy before he was trying to do that. I think this year his health came back. He was able to express himself by performing.
Yeah.
And once he performed out there and he knew that he was having the year that people expected him to have, I think coming to the postseason turned him up even more when it came to performing. I think he was able to understand what he did last year during the postseason, And he took that into the postseason this year.
So is that all, is that pressure all gone for David Price, or is it a different kind of pressure now that he showed what he showed and won a World Series?
I think it's not really pressure. It's just that now he understands what he did. Even though the expectations grow when you do these kind of things, people are going to expect you to be the same hero and during the postseason coming up, and especially with a team like this that's actually expected to be even better. I think guys like David Price never settle. The special ones never settle. They're always looking forward to doing even more. And even if we don't put pressure, even if the fan base is a little bit more patient, even if the media is more patient because they understand now what he did, I think he's going to put it on himself to actually go out there and get better. He's that kind of guy. And that's what he wanted to express. And when I saw the end of the World Series and I saw David Price in tears all over the place and literally could not say anything, told me a lot about how much he cared, how much he wanted to do. And hi, Flacco.
Yeah, Chris Sale sitting down here.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but what do you think of this guy?
Yeah, see, let me ask you real quick, because what these guys did in the postseason, I don't think like fans kind of maybe appreciate what the starters did. In October, after long years, sitting there saying, you know what, I'm good with the side sessions, okay, because I'm available out of the bullpen. You know, what was it like for you to watch guys like this guy here, Chris Sale, Eovaldi, Porcello, Price, say, you know what, I don't need bullpens. I'm available tonight. I'm available tomorrow. Let's do this.
Well, they totally understand, and they're a little bit of a throwback. I was just talking to Tom Curran over there, and I said we have a good combination of great players that we have in the team, and in the starting rotation, in the entire staff, there's a little bit of everything. There's a little bit of a throwback. This guy, talk about being a throwback. I'm so proud to see some of the things that I believed in when I was in baseball. It's so refreshing to get to see guys like this that go back out there intending to pitch their own game. I mean, having their own mindset, having their own approach to the game, and at the same time not thinking about relying on anybody to actually get it done. But at the same time, you have a young nucleus of pitchers that are coming behind them, learning about the culture that they're living. What they're doing right now is leaving a culture, a legacy for the next generation, the Eduardo Rodriguez and those guys, about how to go about their business and how to get it done.
Well, it also helps when you have the similar stuff as far as dominant stuff like this guy does. Chris Sale, how are you doing?
I'm good. Just enjoying my time here, bouncing around.
How's the offseason been for you as a world champion now?
It's actually been pretty chill. Just been hanging around the house. You know, my two boys are keeping me busy, trying to get my golf game a little bit better, and been working out up at JetBlue the whole offseason with some of the guys. So it's been great. It's been awesome. Very low key, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a question from me. You got a question for this guy?
No, I just wonder how you feel after you win the World Series and you came over with that purpose.
Yeah.
How is it for you? Is it like a sign of relief? How you feel? You know, as far as the commitment with the fan base and your game and your team as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is a winning city, and you know it's an expectation. It's not like, oh, let's hope we win. Like, no, we're gonna win. And obviously, being traded, you know, 2 years ago here for, you know, some of their good prospects they had, you know, the pressure's on, you know. I mean, it's you know, crunch time. So, you know, obviously the first year, in 2017, didn't work out too well. But we learned from it. As a group, I think, you know, we retooled. You know, obviously got a new manager, new coaching staff, and I think that helped tremendously. Keeping it loose, having fun. But, yeah, I mean, it's great being able to be here and experience this. You know, other than the duck boats, this is our first time really to kind of hang out with the fans and you know, experience this with them and share it with them. And it's fun. You know, we're shaking hands, signing autographs, taking pictures, and you can see how just fulfilled they are and how excited they are. You know, I got people like, I didn't miss a game. I've been a Sox fan for 30 years. I've been watching you know, this guy, and it's cool to see the evolution of that, and just, you know, after so many years and, you know, championships, they love this one just as much.
I want to ask you a question, because I know everybody wants to hear, everybody wants to know, how is your health? How Good. Do you think you can come back this year and be healthy? Because, believe me, if I ever sit in front of my TV to watch a game, it's got to be guys like you. So I'm expecting to see you the entire season, see you healthy. More than anything, it's for baseball, for the good of baseball, it's good to see guys like you out there performing.
Well,
tell
I appreciate
us
it.
How's your health?
Everything's been going really well. This offseason, this is my first offseason kind of changing things up. I've been working out strictly at JetBlue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have obviously a great core there, great facility too to go and get all my stuff done, and working out with the guys is fun. I've just been doing a lot of things for kind of the back of my shoulder, the breaks, you know, mm-hmm. just doing a lot of eccentric, a lot of band work, a lot of shoulder program, because you want it to be obviously strong, but you also want it to be stable to be able to, you know, it's a long season, and I don't take it easy, so. you know, we've done a lot of things this offseason to kind of cater to that and really focus on kind of the smaller muscles in my shoulder. You know, we call them the brakes. You know, you can have 1,000 horsepower in a car, but if you don't have any brakes, you're going to run right into the wall. So we've been focusing a lot on that.
So there's a lot of similarities with both of you guys. Just pure dominance. This guy's the greatest I've ever seen, you know, and you're the greatest I've ever seen here since him. But you're not Justin Verlander. You're not Nathan Eovaldi. And you were never Rocket. You were never Roger. So I'd ask you, like, you know, as far as, like, you were never a big guy.
No.
So as far as endurance goes, as far as staying healthy, what were some of the things, Pedro, that you did? And I'm wondering if you guys ever talked about that, as far as, like, what it getting through a season.
Well, I had a very, very, just like him, mm-hmm. I've seen him work. He's a workaholic. But sometimes you have to really gauge some of the things you do, especially late in the season. And sometimes By July, August, you're not going to get in better shape than you are. So you find a routine that keeps you pretty much in contention, but at the same time gauging what you might face in the future. I think for him, it's a matter of probably saving stamina a little bit, understanding when to kind of let go a little bit and slow down. That's what I did. Coming August, mm-hmm. July, towards the end of July, August, I was able to pinpoint when I needed to kind of slow down a little bit, take a little bit of the gas off the pedal. And I think for him, it's going to be critical to, from now on, probably change a little bit of the program, because you have pitched a lot in a short period of time. So the hangover from this World Series is something that we have to be cautious with. How we work him in spring training, how we take him to start the season, and at the same time keep him fresh towards the end of the season.
So last year, I'd say April, May, you were still your dominant stuff. The numbers were still there, but it was 93, 94. Mm-hmm. June and July, did you start to drive that Ferrari a little bit too soon? Because, man, every pitch was 99, and I'm like, whoa, what was that an issue for you? Did you rev it up maybe, as you say, maybe – you wanted to bust through this thing in April, May. Did you do it a little bit too early in June and July?
Yeah, and I think with what he was talking about, our in season program, I guess you can call it. I changed it last year. You know, during the off season is when you can just crush yourself. If your legs are killing you for 3 days, it's not the end of the world. You can't have, you know, your lower back hurting because you're, you know, squatting a whole lot, or, you know, your hamstrings real tight from running a whole lot, you know, during the season. So those are things that we kind of dialed back, and I was just able to get back to 100% there for a while. You know, I was kind of dealing with some things with mechanics and, mm-hmm. Breaking my hands and just kind of arm path stuff early on in the year. A little bit of that was by design, just, you know, because my first handful of starts were kind of back end of spring training starts.
Yeah, April, your first year, you out of the gate.
Oh,
yesterday looked like you, last year looked like you had a plan early
yes,
on.
Yes, yes. And this year I think we actually have an even better plan. I've sat down with Dana and Alex and Brad, and we've kind of gone over the whole everything in spring, and you know, built in some off days, built in some work days, done some things on the side session, on a backfield, you know, just more controlled stuff, just so that ramp up isn't from here to here. You know, it's kind of that gradual build up. And yeah, so I mean, basically, I just want to get back to where I was, you know, at the beginning of last year, and just be able to use that and, you know, go the whole season.
Chris, I know for some guys, for a lot of guys at a certain stage in their career, it's difficult for them to change things and change a routine. What has that been like for you? It seems like you've embraced it.
Well, yeah, it's an easier process when the people that it's coming from you trust, and you understand that they've been here, they've done it. They're not only looking at it from, you know, a physical but a competitive standpoint. You know, because what I do affects, you know, the next guy in line. And, you know, if I'm only going 4 innings, someone's got to pick up that slack. And if I'm going to go, you know, 8 innings, then, you know, I can give those guys a day off. So, you know, they've done a great job, unbelievable job of being able to balance everybody and make it work.
Speaking of trust, Petey, so this guy doesn't shake anything. Whatever the pitch is, he calls, you know, he throws it, and he's got to execute it. I know you trusted Tech. Did you trust him that much
to the point
where you would never shake?
Yes, I did. I trust him. I trust his mindset. And the two guys we have behind the plate, the three guys that we have, are really, really, really good. It's too bad you haven't really seen Swinehart kind of develop into what he could be.
I thought last year he looked good when he came back.
But he's also really, really good. All three of them are three catchers that you can say are trustworthy. You can trust either one. And I'm pretty sure Chris not only trusts his catcher, but he trusts the staff he has. And that's the main thing. When you trust what you have, you're not intimidated by anything. It doesn't matter what kind of location or what kind of pitch you choose. If you locate it well and you have good enough stuff, you, there's no fear. There were times where I saw myself falling behind a hitter, and I just took it upon myself and I said, here's going to be three fastballs. Let's see what you can do with it.
Hit it.
Hit it if you can.
Yeah.
And locate it, and locate it, and locate it, and three, bye.
What impresses you the most when you watch Chris Sale pitch?
His determination. He's out there to get you. I mean, he's not wasting any time.
You always called yourself a killer.
Yeah, cold-blooded killer. Right here. This guy is after you, and that's I love to see that. His aggressiveness. I mean, he's relentless. He doesn't want to let you breathe out there. And I love that. That's why I said if I ever see it on my TV to watch guys, it's got to be guys like this.
You remember watching him?
Oh, yeah. And that was unbelievable. I mean, you guys saw it. I mean, it was electricity. It was nasty. It was like video, watching a video game, honestly. You helped me win a few of those video games, too. So appreciate that.
Always a pleasure.
But like what he was talking about, you know, it was him, and now it's us, and then it's going to be Eddie, and then it's going to be, you know, Groom, and then, you know, the next guy in line. So, you know, when we watch what he did, you know, before, and Lowe, and Beckett, and guys like that, Schilling, obviously, you know, they set a tone. And like I said, it's not a hope or a dream. It's an expectation. Like, we are expected to live up to this standard. And, you know, it's tough because obviously, you know, you're not going to be your best every time out. And if you're not, you're going to hear about it. But, you know, without those expectations, it's hard for you to keep raising the bar. Because if you settle for being mediocre, you're only ever going to be mediocre. And one of my favorite quotes is, if you're okay with being good, you'll never be great. And I think that we have not only a pitching staff, but a team full of people that just want to be better and you know, hey, we won the World Series. Awesome. We appreciate it. It was hard work. We loved every second of it. But we're not World Series champions anymore in 2019. You know, that flag says 18. So we still got work to do.
Yeah. You talk about raising the bar. Alex Cora said the other day that, you know, you like what we did last year? Wait till this year. We're going to do something special this year. I know a lot of teams probably couldn't handle that. It seems like you guys have the right mindset where you can handle that kind of pressure.
Yeah, well, one thing is not being complacent and just being, oh, well, we won the World Series, so we can take a couple years off or take next year off. Let's go back to back.
Real quick, Petey, I got to let you go. I know you're a busy, busy man. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it because I got one more question for you.
All right.
So, Petey, good seeing you, buddy.
Good seeing you, too. Man. Happy New Year to all of you.
So, here it is. So, we've talked about this before. You've been the best bargain in baseball for a long, long time. Free agent at the end of the year. When do those things start up? Discussions as far as extension, contract? Because I don't think any of these people here want you to leave.
Well, I don't want to leave either. That's not my area. You know, I one track mind. You know, for me, it all that stuff is going to take care of itself. I got to pitch. I've never pitched for anything other than to win and just compete with everything that I have. All that other stuff. I got an agent; he can take care of that. You know, that kind of stuff. So I don't worry about it because of if it can consume you. I've seen what it can do to guys throughout the year of a free agent year, worrying about an extension or a contract this, contract that. I'm going to keep doing the same thing I've always done, and that's just go out there and pitch. And eventually, I'm going to be done pitching, and it's all going to be said and done, and I can look back and enjoy it. But for now, you know, I've said it before, it's like a horse with blinders on. I'm looking at the road ahead, and I'm running until I'm told not to.
So you say a lot of guys can get consumed by it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you avoid that? It can't be easy, I assume. Like, it can't be easy to do.
I mean, it is if you just don't pay attention to it. You know, I'm not constantly getting bombarded with people sending me, you know, text messages or, you know, the Facebook messages or Twitter, whatever, you know, DMs, all this other stuff. So I'm not constantly reading about it. I'm not looking myself up. I'm not reading into it. I got a job to do. I wake up in the morning, breakfast with my son, take him to school, go to JetBlue, get my work done, come home, hang out. Once spring training starts, it's, you know, do that for spring, and then once game one goes, it's go time. So I don't have time to think about it.
So when you came over here, you looked at this team and you said, man, they got a lot of potential to win. This can be great. Winning in Boston, right? And it can also be difficult, you know, when you lose in Boston. You know, it's up and down. You won the World Series, you know, so was it what you expected it would be like if you won in this town?
Oh, no, not it wasn't even close.
More.
I've said before, it's like think of like your greatest dream you've had about playing baseball, because we've all done it. Anybody that's played baseball, you know, you stood in the box or you're on the mound, 3-2 count, bases loaded, game seven of the World
Series. Strike out to win the World Series, something like that, for example.
And yes,
and exactly. You got to live it.
Yeah. And it was funny because like I watched the video and I can just put myself in that scenario, and it's like the wheels were slipping. I didn't realize what had happened until probably like 3 seconds after, you know, the strikeout went. Like I watched myself take a few stutter steps, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. It's like, holy crap, we just won the World Series. It's better than my best dream I've ever had about baseball.
So last year, going into the postseason, you were talked about an awful lot. You were one of the biggest question marks. We didn't know what Chris Sale we were going to get. How much did you know how much Chris Sale was available in the postseason? and as it went on, like, whether you're available for this game, if there's a game five, I can't pitch, I can pitch. Where were you at mentally, physically in the postseason?
Unless my arm was laying next to me, I was going to pitch.
But were you going to be effective? I mean, obviously
I was
going to
try.
Yeah.
You know? It was one of those things we had a pretty good layoff before.
Yeah.
You know, so I was able to get some work in and get some downtime. You know, it was basically the main, you know, our main goal was all hands on deck. That was kind of the quote that floated around during the postseason, you know, from the pitching staff. It's, you know, you got David Price pitching on, you know, short rest multiple times.
Everyone was. Oh, you guys were.
You know, yeah, but, you know, Evaldi and all these guys. Joe, Rick. I think Joe threw in every game in the World Series. Barnes threw. I mean, all these guys, it nothing mattered. It didn't matter if your belly button was infected, you know, your shoulders hurting, your right knee's hurting. Nothing mattered. Everybody, it was all hands on deck, and we were willing to do anything it took to win the World Series.
Going into spring training, are there guys, is there a certain guy on this team, on this roster, that you're most intrigued to see grow as a player this year?
Eovaldi, for sure. Good. Yeah, I was. We were all really happy to get him back. There's not too many 96 mile an hour cutters floating around out there, but he's got one of them, and he can be just an absolute powerhouse. I mean, even watching him lift in the weight room, it's he's a freak. So I think we're going to see some really good stuff
from
him.
You talk about having blinders on. Is he that? He seems to be that type of guy who just has blinders on, doesn't pay attention.
And
to anything
he looks
else.
Like he's going
to
eat your face off too when he's out there pitching. And then he throws 101, you know, just right there. I mean, I'm glad I don't have to face it.
So teammates with David Price, we all know the history he had going into the postseason, right? The success maybe wasn't there; it was weighing on him.
Yeah.
Whether he would admit it publicly, privately, whatever. What was it like for you to see him just dominate the postseason and just sort of put that in the past? Did you see a different David Price?
Oh, yes.
David Price.
So DP was probably the most locked in I've seen, like from him, obviously. But when he was out there, it was almost like the more, like you throw 2 days in a row and you take a day off, like you're not going to feel great. And it was almost like he got better the more he threw. Which, especially that time of year with all the innings racked up, the short rest, the consecutive days, he stepped up big time. You know, obviously that's a lot of weight to carry, you know, and sometimes it seemed like people wanted him to fail. And he just busted down that wall, and we don't win the World Series without him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people realize that, and I think they appreciate it. And, you know, he's as good as they get. You know, I mean, he's one of the best teammates I've ever been around. You know, he's a fun guy. I play a lot of golf with him in the offseason. Just good people, you know, and it was good to see that. And you could tell he wasn't stopping. Like, he was going until it was done, and he won it for us.
You plan on going to the White House when this team goes February 15th? Is it even a discussion, or is it something you think about?
Well, I don't know now. I mean, obviously with the shutdown, that kind of affects things. But, if it's still lined up, I'm going to go, yeah.
Is it not political? I mean, is it just for you? Is it political, or is it just one of those things where, like, we're going to celebrate a World Series?
100%. Yeah, I think obviously getting invited to the White House is a special honor. You know, I would love to just be able to go around and walk in there and take pictures.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to take my wife with me and you know, do that. It'll be fun. You know, it's just one of those things that if I was invited 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago, or in 6 years, I'm going. You know, I think it's just it's a cool honor.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.